would you like this? Then why don't we get six of you? Come and light the candle. The incense. Alicia and Yela.
Nigilan, Mamansuri, and brother too. There are six. The candle or the incense. Six of you can light. There's another one. One more there. One more there. Stop there. Light in. Light in. Okay, you can start the offering now. Start with the tree. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Do sa 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 do. Wow, welcome back, Sue. Sa do sa do sa do. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we offer the balance of the garland and flower. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, then develop the spiritual zeal, and mindfully we shall commence our puja chanting. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo, Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo, Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sim Pusa, Namo Quan Sim Pusa, Namo Quan Sim Pusa, Namo Ami Tofo, Namo Ami Tofo, Namo Ami Tofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi.Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami OkayYou can be seated. Then we turn to page 1. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassaNamo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami.Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchamiDutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchamiPānāti pātā viramani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmi Ādīnā dānā viramani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micchācārā viramani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmiMusāvādhā viramani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmi Sūrāmeraya macchāpamādathāna viramani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmi Now we shall chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light.Ganna sarapadithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang sanda sambarayuthena dopenahang suganghenaPujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kasuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohePujemi buddhang kasumena nena punmena mitena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang Adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya dipanhatu muttamang Adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. We shall now chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all this offering, understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of pure water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, which is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple gem. Badang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay. You can be seated. We are off the light. Then you can start your meditation straight away. Yeah. I will ring the bell after about 25 minutes. Okay, for those who really know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. For those who still need to train your mind, you can proceed to. For those who already know how to meditate, always remember the four support. for mindfulness-based meditation, relax into every mind state that arises. Don't try to know. Just relax. Maintain awareness. The first support is relax into every mind state that arises. Then the second support is just silent. Yeah. Relax, silent. Silent means aware, without thought. Allow that silence to stabilize so that it becomes more and more stable. The stability of that silent mind is very important. So you just relax and maintain silence. If there is any sankhara activity or mental activity or movement, never mind, let it arise. The untrained mind is like that, heedless, think a lot, create mental hindrance and all those things, create a lot of mental activity, mental states. Then there is this constant arising and passing away of thought, which are your mental aggregate, the five mental aggregates of form and mind. Meditation is to develop the silent mind to be aware of all these movements. And because we are a conscious human being with the five physical senses and the mind, and the sixth sandal, upon contact, consciousness arises. Then because of our conditioning, because of our views and opinion, we tend to stir the mind or react to what we perceive through our senses. So this is the reason why the mundane mind arises. So the real meditation is to develop that understanding, to allow it to be. Don't suppress it, don't control it, just let it be. Then it will stabilize. All this activity of my sankhara, they will finally slow down and dissipate. That is what meditation is all about. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just relax and maintain silent aware. So these are the first two support, relax, aware. Then third one is 24-hour, means throughout the day you can maintain this awareness to be ever mindful within your mind states, whether you are conscious or unconscious. Later on, when you are skillful, this state of mind, the silent mind, meditative mind, they can even go into your sleep, your moment of sleep. When you want to rest your body, the awareness can still be there, and the awareness can be aware of everything that is going on within your sleep, your subconscious moment and your unconscious moment. The awareness is still there. But that will take a long time of cultivation, stability of that silent mind. But initially you just have to relax, aware, and maintain the silence for as long as you can. Then after that, trust. The fourth support is trust. Trust means don't do anything. Don't arise the thought. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just allow the nature to proceed, and relax into every mind state. Then the understanding will unfold by itself. Through the silent awareness, you will start to understand many, many things. Essentially, this is the real meditation. Not all the focusing, concentration, noting and all those things. All this will lead to the arising of more and more thought, more and more sankhara, more and more control, suppression, making the mind more and more dull. The mind has to be in a relaxed state of natural awareness so that it is a free mind, not a conditioned state. not in the conditioned state of focusing or absorption or concentration. It has to be a free mind that is free to investigate, to understand through insight into phenomena, to realize the truth, to awaken to the universal characteristics of phenomena, the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self. They will arise on their own when the silent mind has enough energy to insight into it, to realize it. When the conditions are there for the awakening to happen. Okay. For those who still need to train the mind, you can proceed with your whatever skillful means, either mind sweeping method combined with metta, or straight away you go into anapanasati or any object of meditation that you are familiar with. Remember to relax, maintain silent, aware, then allow your mind to be. Then everything will just fall into place. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. those who still want to meditate, yeah, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we turn to page 6. Viva Chanda Deva Radhana, which is the invocation to the Devas. I'll read to you the English translation. Then after that, we will chant the Pali together. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King or Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Saka Mokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditadbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali karaniyo anutarang punya ketang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tirupajam. Padang pujemi Dhammang pujemi Sanghang pujemi can be seated, maintain some form of attention, then we will continue with our second session, which is the sharing of this special sutta, the Diamond Sutta, the Prajnaparamita Sutta. Okay. Before we continue, I think last week we stopped at some question and answer sharing. Do you all have any question? Anybody has written any question or whatever that you want to clarify or discuss further, you can ask. Anybody? Don't have. The mic is here. You have, you can raise your hand. Okay. We stop at page 104, I think. Then we turn to page 1. We will recite the verse for opening a sutta. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay. Then, before we turn to page 104, I think, I did share with you all on this return to our pure nature. This is a collection of short stories by, I think, Master Zhenyan Faso. She is from Ciji, the abbot of Ciji. So it's written here at the back, it says, people are sentient beings with an intrinsic Buddha nature. But when they are influenced by their environment, inauspicious causes and conditions cause them to accumulate complex and negative habitual tendencies, which can cause them to turn away from their Buddha nature. That's how living beings fall. In order for them to return to their pure and wholesome nature, they must follow the right path. This means that they must walk the Bodhisattva path, putting the teaching into practice and trusting in the karmic law of cause and effect. By liberating themselves from suffering and working to eliminate negative habitual tendency, the purity of their Buddha nature can then shine forth again. So this one is quite a good introduction. Then, as I promised you all, I got the next short story to share with you all regarding the ghost, I think. Okay, I read to you. Wondrous encounter on a country road. When we engage in acts to benefit others, the karmic effect of such acts are very clear and certain. There is a story from the sutta that exemplifies this teaching. So these are the short story which presumably according to Mahayana, they are also from Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching. But some of them, I realize I never heard them before in the Theravada teaching. Maybe it's in some sutta somewhere, I may not know. But anyway, they have this one. So the first line is very important. When we engage in acts to benefit others, these are very important wholesome actions. The karmic effect of such acts are very clear and certain. So this short story is trying to explain to you how you can develop the understanding of the law of karma. Then when you engage in act that benefit others, you will benefit yourself, your karmic nature. So these are the short story that reflect the different condition under which all these beings that went through birth and death, then after they took rebirth, they came to understand what had happened. Then you see how they act or react. Yeah. From there, you can develop a lot of wisdom. Okay, I tell you the first story. One day, a villager was traveling upon a country road. Suddenly, he saw a ghost furiously whipping a corpse. This one must be, presumably that villager can see non-human. Then after recovering from the shock, the villager mustered up enough courage to approach the ghost and ask, "What wrong has this man done to you? Why did you do that to him? He has already passed away. Why must you beat up his corpse?" The ghost replied, "Okay, before I read the answer, can you all make a guess what actually happened? What actually happened? Why did the ghost did that? Anybody want to try? We will be able to discuss this. We see how each individual or cultivator can come up with understanding as to why this ghost did all these things. Anybody want to try? You have to try. Otherwise you cannot learn. What do you think are the possibility for that particular ghost action?" Just like the villager asked him, "What had he done to you to cause you so much fury and anger? He's already a dead corpse in there. Why you continue to beat him like nobody's business? Why?" Let Hui Ling try. Pass the mic to her. What do you think could have possibly happened?
Maybe the corpse was his master and the master was torturing him before.
Oh yeah, could be a possibility. But normally if your teacher, unless there are specific reasons, you won't be so furious until he already did. As a dead cop also, you want to whack him. Maybe, like you say, wrong teaching caused him to have rebirth as a ghost. He was so mad. This could be one of the possibility. Okay, who else? Who want to try? You can just give your views and understanding to express the possibility, because law of karma is very complex, very complicated. Anybody else? PG, pass to PG. Yes, PG.
Okay, I'll try this one.
Could
it be that the corpse is actually a relative, and when he's alive, maybe he didn't do share merits with this ghost to help him to get better conditions for rebirth.
Oh, okay. This could be another reason. Anybody else? Any other possibility? Nobody want to try? I think Pastor May got a lot of idea. May sometimes got very cute answer. What do you think could be the possible reason?
Haven't thought of it.
No, haven't thought. Why did the ghost become so angry and so furious?
How can a person become like that? Of course, one very good he knows, he was born a ghost. Understand? What could have happened? Based on your cultivation and understanding, if you have this right view, you will have the answer. Pass to Monica. Oh no, Sue. Sue, was it Sue who answered? Wow, our New Zealand Sue is finally back. Sadhu, let us welcome here. Wow. Push it all the way up.
I suppose it's what goes around comes around.
Ah, yes, very good. That is what karma is. But then you didn't answer why he was so furious with the day cops. Why did he keep on beating that day cops so furiously, so unhappy?
Taking revenge, like, because the cops had done to the ghost.
Oh, okay.
Earlier.
Oh, very near. Very near. Your answer is very near. Very good. But you missed by a little bit only. Anybody else want to try? You pass to your good neighbor, and Anne might know the answer.
He become a ghost maybe due to the cops.
Become a ghost. Very good. Sadhu, very good. That was the answer. Because that corpse was the human body and mind before the ghost died. Understand? Now I read the story, you will understand. The ghost replied, he said, "These corpse are the remain of my past existence as a human being." See, if that form and mind heedless and do all those funny things, you will end up becoming a ghost. That's why as a ghost, he come back, he was so mad. At first, he couldn't accept. Then they say, everything is a result of karma. You reap what you sow, like what Sue said. Everything comes around, goes around, come around. You reap what you sow. So it's due to your past birth as a human. You become heedless. You have so much evil roots. That's how you end up becoming a ghost. And because of your, mainly is selfishness, craving. So all these are the conditions for your future birth. So when this ghost came to understand that, he, because he was deluded, maybe it was a she, I don't know. Either he or she, also same. So deluded, he thought, this so-called corpse, which was his previous existence as a human, is the cause of his birth as a ghost. So he developed anger. He or she developed anger and hatred towards the cop. That's why he was so furious about the cop. But this will not help, understand? It will actually create more negativity of thought. So what this particular short story is trying to tell you is, do not be deluded. Understand this before you die. Or while you are here, understand that what you do as a human being in this life will condition the future. That's why it will influence your karmic nature. And like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So you don't take care of karma, you become heedless like this ghost before that. Then it will condition misery, miserable rebirth as a non-human or ghost. Then I continue to read on, then you will understand. While he was alive, he did not cultivate filial piety. he did not pay respect to the triple gem, and he always create trouble not only for himself but also for others, dooming me to hell to suffer painful retribution. See, this goes also no. The reason why he went down to hell and suffer like anything is because the previous birth as a human being, that human being never do his duty, did all the funny thing. That's why he came to know that he got so angry that corpse. Then now as a ghost or hell being, do you know that as a hell being you can never cultivate, you can never develop merits? At least as a what they call peta, peta. Peta you can still receive, no? Idang menya tinang ho tu, departed relative, they send to you, you can still receive, no? Then as human or even deva somewhat, you can rejoice, no? But hell being cannot, no? Hell being are really miserable, I tell you. It's like perpetual suffering, very severe suffering down there, yeah. The Buddha actually gave an analogy, because somebody, I think the king, one of the king, if I'm not wrong, asked the Buddha, how was it like to be born in the hell realm? And the Buddha gave him this example, no? He said, just like you king, is it? What will you do to those convict or those who break the law and commit a lot of what they call negative action? Yeah. The king say they have the punishment. Yeah. So he say even your most severe punishment, let's say, is it, you were to sentence him to this type of punishment, is it, you get your soldier to spear him, is it, using the spear 100 times, but don't kill him, no. Yeah. Spear him 100 times, but don't kill him in the morning, make him miserable. Then wait till afternoon, noontime. Again, spear him 100 times, you know. But because in hell, cannot die, you know. So he said, as a human being, if you are with the hell body, you cannot die, but you can suffer, you know. So he said, every day you do 3 times, you do for eternity. That type of suffering is nothing, is it, compared to those in the hell realm. You want to try it, huh? I wish you luck. You go down there. Very, very severe. Very severe. Mm. So this particular short story is a very good Dhamma lesson, yeah? For living beings who are heedless, who don't understand this nature's law of karma. So the key here is, while he was alive, he did not cultivate. You see, filial piety is very important to repay your parents' kindness, sacrifice their love for you, for they give you life, and they care for you, they sacrifice for you, they protected you. They actually did a lot of things for you. Unless they are parents who are irresponsible, yeah, or heedless. Yeah. But most parents, almost all parents, they love their children. They are willing to sacrifice. They are willing to care and protect. They are willing to do everything and give them the best. They will care for you when you are sick. Yeah. When you are young, incapable of things, they will work very hard, sacrifice all of their time to make sure you have the proper care, protection, food, shelter, education, and whatever that can make you happy, to bring you up to this world so that they can be proud of you, so that you can have the good life. So this first thing is filial. So this one, they already failed. Then the next one is, they did not pay respect to the three jewels, and to those who are worthy of respect. Then the worst is, they always create trouble for themselves and others. Means they violate the precept and create suffering and misery. So dooming that goes to hell to suffer painful retribution from what that former mind has done. So this is to be avoided. So after hearing this, the villagers bid farewell to the ghost and continue on his journey. Soon after, he came upon a heavenly being paying respect to a cop. Again, curious, the villager asked, why are you treating this cop with such reverence and respect? And now, second case, what do you think happened? What do you think happened? Now it's a deva, no? Paying reverence to that corpse. You can easily infer that. So it's the opposite of what the ghost experiences. So this one, because of what that previous life former mind has done, it has developed so much merits that has enabled him or her to become a deva. That's why he has a lot of gratitude towards the corpse. That's why he pay respect and have a lot of gratitude towards the corpse. So I read you the answer. This one is easy. He was my past existence, the deva said. When he was alive, he cultivated filial piety. He paid respect to the triple gem and those who are worthy of respect, and was generous towards others in need. His good deeds allow me to be reborn as a heavenly being, to enjoy the bliss and blessings of heavens. Thus I must thank him and show him my respect and gratitude, replied the heavenly being. So these are all reminder of karma. You reap what you sow. If you want to have the good life, you make sure you take care of karma. If you want to become deva, what must you do? What must you do? If you want to become devas, to be born as a deva, what must you have? Minimum 5 precepts. What else? Not only 5 precepts. 5 precepts guarantee you won't go down hell. Understand? But you have to be much more than that to be born in the deva realms. You must have? Just now mentioned already. You must have? Filial piety, understand not? Gratitude towards your parents and those who have helped you in one way or other. Then respect to the triple gem and to people who are worthy of respect. Then be generous. Cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, virtue, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness. If you have all those things, it's like you cultivate the initial Noble Eightfold Path. Then you can easily take rebirth as a deva. Devas, actually, they are beautiful beings. When you are born up there, you are full of happiness and joy. They call the heavenly being enjoying heavenly blessings. Do you know why? They are not like us human form. Human form, as you are born into this world, you can go through old age, sickness and death. Understand? Then any time your form can get into trouble. Understand? Whereas as a deva, they won't get hungry. There is no such thing as suffering. To them, unless it's near to their death, just before their death, when they are about to die, then only they experience suffering. The first few signs that appear is, of course, they start to sweat. Then they are fragrant and nice smell and beautiful, what they call translucent form, will start to fade. They lose their radiance. And then during that time, they actually suffer. Then after that, they die, but short moment. But apart from that, over that period of existence, they actually are very, very happy beings, beautiful beings. So that's why as a deva, they said, we are a lot of Mahayana texts. You heard of this before. They advise you not to make aspiration to take birth in the deva line. They believe it's a hindrance to cultivation. You agree or not? A lot of people think that way, you know, because they say up there, life is too good. In Cantonese, Taiko Shifok. You won't think of cultivation, because you don't experience like what we have here. That's why to be born as a human is the best. You can have the two extremes. You can experience severe suffering, and you can see and experience all this. That's why as a human, they say what? You can go either way. Tò hô tò pai. Our Hokkien is very good. Tò hô tò pai. Good also very good. Bad also can be very bad. So as human being, we can go either way means what? If you cultivate your mind, develop the virtue, perfection, you can become Samma Sambuddha. No? That's why. Extreme case of good, understand, or wholesomeness. But if you heedlessly become evil and do all those nonsense, likewise, you can fall very, very deep into the Apaya Bhumi, means the hell realm. So this is the other extreme, understand. That's why tua ho, tua pai. So, as a human, we can go either way. That's why a lot of people believe when you're born as a human, you stand a great chance to develop cultivation and to become enlightened and to perfect yourself. But for me, not necessarily the case. Because somebody asked me, I remember, one of the Kayaramita, I forgot who already. He read to me the Mahayana Sutta. That book was written by a very famous Zen master, advising them not to make aspiration to be born in the deva realm. She asked me, Bratil, what you think? Do you think this is correct? What do you think? No, I asked you. What do you think? This is Dhamma discussion. You should discuss this. What do you think? What has been said by people? I'm sure you heard before, Mahayana has this type of very strong, what they call advice to cultivator, not to aim at Divarayana, otherwise you can get stuck there. What do you think? Before I answer you, I want to know your view and your understanding, so that at least you can stimulate your contemplative understanding based on what you have understood. Is it necessary that you have to take human birth to develop a cultivation? You check the Jataka story. Pass the mic to Pamasuri, You have to discuss this, otherwise you cannot understand. Then you always listen. Not much use.
Good evening.
Yeah.
I think it's the nature, it's the person's nature and
their cultivation
very good. That determine whether the person, that nature is cultivated.
Very good. So it is not necessary, understand, like what Pamasuri said. Actually, that was that perfect answer that I give to that Kayanamita. I say not necessary, not what you think. It depends, because different people different. Everyone is different. But if you are deluded, you attach to good life, heavenly rhyme and all those things. If you don't have that past cultivation, that nature, like what Paramasuri mentioned, then of course, when you are born up there, you can get lost. You can be carried away. But then, if your nature is such that you have already developed the cultivation and the practice, whatever rhyme you are, you will still be beautiful. No problem at all. You look at the Jataka story. After the mother, or stepmother, of Sakyamuni passed away, she was reborn in the Deva rhyme, isn't it? I forgot whether Tawatinsa or Tusita is one of those rhymes. Then what happened? Sakyamuni Buddha created a transformation body up there and preached the Dhamma. They still cultivate up there. Then even in our this human rhyme, we know there are a lot of Dhamma protectors who has the Dhamma, who rejoice in the sasana. When the sasana flourish, they rejoice. And they are there to protect the Buddha's sasana. And there are many cultivators up there too. During the Buddha's time, King Sakka, he was already a sotapan. And he liked cultivator. Somehow, if there is a good cultivator who has done something very wholesome, according to the story, King Sakka will feel it one. His seat will become very hot one. Then he will survey the world to see what actually happened. Because of what? Then sometimes he asks his what they call. They call it the Deva rhyme of the 33 heavens. Oh, sorry, 33 heavenly beings. In Chinese, what you all call? 33 or 33 Deva rhyme or what? Si Da Jing Gang, San Si San Tian, I think. So these are the rhyme where King Sakka is the king up there. And some they call him Ti Gong. You know what is Ti Gong or not? The one Chinese New Year the Hokkien people pray to or pay respect to. Che Gao. Jia Gui Che Gao. What they call the first month, the New Year lunar calendar, the first month, 9 days of the first month, they will make offering to King Sakka. So most of the time they will buy this sugar cane. Then of course with other offering. Then it is supposed to be very grand. Even my mother Hakka, we also actually pay respect to Ting Kong. But very funny, you know. He asked me to pay respect to all the other dainty. I cannot, you know. But when he said Ting Kong, I do it, you know. It's funny. I don't know why when I was young. Ting Kong, then I do it. The other thing is about those, what they call devas, who move around to listen to Dhamma. Because they all like us. During the Buddha's time, remember? In the sutta, especially the Dhammacakkappavattana sutta, the first sermon, you know all the devas of the various rhyme until the Brahma rhyme. They rejoice like anything. Then all this message, they went all the way up. As the five ascetic together with him and he expound, the whole of this teaching was actually developed through the understanding and cultivation. Then rhyme after rhyme, the message went up. It's all in the sutta, you will know. Then when he shared the fire sermon, it seems 1,000 monks become arahan at that time. But according to the sutta, this one I heard from Reverend Suwano, correct or not, I don't know. He's no more around to confirm. But I heard from him. He said it seems millions deva at that time became enlightened. He said, million up there. Maybe more than million, billions, I don't know. According to him, was million, he said, became enlightened, just like that. So it doesn't mean in the Devarayana you cannot cultivate. You must have that nature, that resolve, that understanding. That's why when you determine to have this understanding life after life, in whatever rhyme or existence, you may take birth. This understanding will be there. And you will be able to cultivate, no problem. Even in the pure airport also, anagami, they also cultivate. Where there was some story in the Jataka story, the six monks before that, they were good friends. Then one of them become anagami up there. The arahant one gone. Then that one, because they promised each other to come back and help. So the other four, who take birth in the heavenly realm because of their cultivation, then they were so good in their parami. Immediately after that particular, I think it was Kasapa Buddha before Sakyamuni. So during this time, these six monks was very, very strong in their faith. And they were very serious in their cultivation. I forgot what sutta already. Last time I shared this sutta before. I shared with them at the Vipassana Center last time during the early days. The first batch with Yun Chan and that group, the first batch. And that was a very good sutta. No? Then this particular Brahma in the pure effort, the anagami, because of the promise, he was surveying the world to find out where these four other take birth. No? There were six of them. One of them become arahant, so no more birth. The other four have to come back. But immediately after that life, all these four keep on taking birth in the Devarayana, no? Enjoy life, no? Have all the good life. No? Until the next Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha, came. Then only they take birth as human. Then they come down. And then this Brahma, because can see them, has the ability to come and talk to a few of them, no? And reminded them, no? That the Buddha has a reason because of the affinity. You have to go and see him quickly, because these were our vows. These were what we agreed together. Whoever realized will come back and help the rest. And these six, before they went, they decide to climb up one mountain, no? Very high up one, no? They use ladder to go up, no? Then after that, there is no path down one, no? Then they go only food provision for don't know how many weeks, no? Then they push that ladder away, no? Means nobody can come down. Then they meditate there, cultivate. One of them become arahant, the other one become anagami. Then because he got psychic, he developed the jhana, got psychic, anagami. So he go and get food for the rest, the four of them. Then after some time, I think these four also pass away. That's why this anagami, non-returner, take birth in the pure abbot. So he was still cultivating because of the vow and the promise. He was surveying the world to find out where these four are. And he has that power because he did psychic. You see? Then he located them. No? Every life he followed them. No? And he realized they enjoy life like anything in the Devarayana. Until when Sakyamuni came. Then these four, I tell you, quite miserable. Two of them later on met Sakyamuni, become arahana, straight away come out, gored to death by a cow. And they got very special way of receiving the Dhamma, on a very fast one. No? They just came and meet the Buddha after a few words. One of them met the Buddha at a place where they passed a night. Yeah. Then this particular one of the four monks, at that time, who became a lay person, he heard about Sakyamuni, but he doesn't know who Sakyamuni is. So he was traveling towards that direction. Then he was taking, taking shelter, rest at a certain place in one of the abandoned home or what. Then Sakyamuni also happened to pass by there. You know. They met him. Then ask him whether he can stay the night with him at that place too. He said, by all means, because it's not his place, he said. He also happened to drop by here. Then after that, the two of them sat and meditated. No? Then after that, the Buddha at that time, he didn't want to let this particular person know that he was the Buddha. Then he asked him, who are you? Why are you here? Actually, the Buddha knew. Then he said, I was sent by my friend up there, he said, to look for this Buddha, he said, Sakyamuni. Because he is the fully enlightened one. And he can help me to develop the understanding. Because in the previous life, when they met the other Buddha, Kāsapa Buddha, they had the condition, but only two of them make it. The other four didn't make it. So now he, because of that affinity and that vow, he came all the way to look for Sakyamuni. Then Sakyamuni Buddha didn't tell him, you know, who he was. He said, oh, he said, okay, good. He said, how do you meditate? He asked this particular one of the four monks. That, like, I don't know whether he was a lay person or what, I forgot already. Then what happened was, he explained to him how he meditated. Then the Buddha explained to him, he said, actually no need to do all those things. Meditation is very simple. He talked about the six sense door. You know? So the Buddha explained to him the five physical sense and the mind. You know? And then he taught him the dependent origination. Then about how to silence the mind. Then through that silence, develop the understanding of what happened. Then upon contact, what happened. Then how the factor arises. And through that, just through that, of course they stress on this point, in the seeing, it's just the seeing consciousness, no one to see. This particular person, who was a monk in the previous life, one of the four who didn't get enlightened, straight away become arahant. Then there was another one who was a very wealthy and successful merchant. He got a lot of wealth. Then what happened was, he, because he was a businessman, he liked to invest in ships, then sail out. Then after that, go to foreign land, buy those things, come back and sell and make a lot of money. So what happened was, one of the trip, he was too greedy. He wanted to make it big. So he himself went together with all his ship. Then he met with a very severe storm that destroyed all his ship. His wealth, everything gone. Then he was shipwrecked and landed in, I think somewhere off India, somewhere. Then because he lost everything, he was actually completely shocked. Then because of that, he didn't know what to do. He didn't have money, he didn't have anything. Then he didn't even actually shave himself or cover himself and all those things. And because of that, people who passed by and saw him, they thought this must be a very, very special cultivator. You know? He must be an arahant. You know? Otherwise, he cannot be like that one. Don't want anything. And then people give him thing. You know? Offer him thing. You know? Then he go and assume he is an arahant. You know? Then the deva, the Brahma came down and talked to him at night. You know? In the day, you know? He wake up, you say, you are not the real arahant. You say. You say, sooner or later, people will find out you will be in deep trouble. You say. As per promise, so he told him the story. He said, you better straight away wake up and go. Walk don't know how far to look for the Buddha. Yeah. So this was the monk, actually, who became an arahant after that. Where he was a fake one, you see. Then he has the robe and all this thing. But he was the fake one, you see. So he went all the way and he managed to found the place where Sakyamuni was. Then at that time, Sakyamuni was going for alms round, Pindapata. And he went and approached the Buddha. Then the disciple all stopped him. No? When the Buddha knew, no? That's why the Buddha tell the disciple, never mind, let him come. Then when he approached the Buddha, he told the Buddha what happened and requested. Then the Buddha actually knew. But the Buddha said, can you wait, is it? After my arms round, yeah, then I will come back and maybe teach you or share with you. You know what this guy say or not? He said, no, I have been advised not to wait. He said, I may die anytime. He said, if I wait, I may die before I see you. Well, the Buddha saw that this guy is really serious. No? So he said, okay. You listen, is it? I will give you a few minutes, is it? He just told him this few things, no? He said, in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. In the hearing, it's just the hearing consciousness, no one to hear. Likewise, the smell, the taste, the tactile, and the thought process, is it? Meditate on this, and you will be okay. The moment he sat down and he meditated on it, because he has been a monk seriously cultivating before. But at that time, they didn't have this teaching. So they didn't really went to see Mahakasapa to really receive the teaching. So that time as a monk, they strive very hard, but they couldn't make it. But because of the parami, they take good birth in the deva line. Then that line, condition already, and when this was explained to him, he straight away said, and he became an arahant. That's why no need to be so so worked up about meditation. Very easy one. Just listen attentively, then do with understanding. But you must have parami like those people. Understand? You don't have parami, you cannot. So because of that, after that, he immediately wanted to take refuge. You know. Then the Buddha said, okay. So they go and get the robe, everything. Refuge. Immediately after come out, go to death by the cow because of karma. Has to pay back. So all of the four of them very interesting. I forgot the other story already. So this one is one of the very good story that you should learn from. I forgot what sutta already. There's a name one. I think I shared this about 10 years ago. 2006, I remember. It's in the recorded tape. But I don't know where the tape is. It's not CD. It's not this type of recording. That time don't have this type. Yeah. Okay. Maybe that one is just for your information. You are interested, you will Google. Okay, then we go to the third short story. There's another one. The villager continue on this road and encounter yet another heavenly being standing under a date tree, D-A-T-E, eating sour unripe dates. This one you cannot understand, I think. Basil, the villagers asked, as a heavenly being, shouldn't you be enjoying heavenly blessing? Why are you here picking and eating sour dates instead? Anybody want to try to answer this one? If you can answer this, means you're very good. You understand karma very well. Why as a deva, he got this type of punishment? Anybody want to try? I think too difficult. So I read you the answer. So you make sure you avoid this one. The heavenly being lamented, although in my past life I cultivated filial piety and pay respect to the three jewels, but I didn't cultivate the most important one. What is it? He didn't cultivate one. No, wisdom. In wisdom, he got no problem. It's not wisdom. He didn't cultivate generosity, understand? Dana parami. So you got no dana parami. You keep all your precepts. You fulfill to become deva. You cannot enjoy heavenly blessing. You don't have generosity parami. You don't receive anything. So that's why eat the what they call sour grape, sour dates. That's why whole charm one. That's why without dana, like they talk a clang. You must have dana and sila. Sila alone without dana, not enough. So he said, because he didn't cultivate generosity towards others. That's why I only receive the appearance of a heavenly being, but not the blessings of a heavenly being. So he really was reborn in the heavenly realm, but he didn't receive the blessing of a heavenly being. That's why without generosity, that's why you must have this understanding. Cultivation is about dana, sila, and bhavana. Not just meditation alone, understand? Wow, just want to become enlightened. Then, no dana, no sila. How? No way for path, not there. That's why without those parami, you cannot really become enlightened. Because without dana and sila, there is a lot of karmic obstruction. There is a lot of condition that is very, very negative and could be harsh and difficult for the cultivator. Because without dana, without sila, you will have a lot of hindrance, a lot of karmic obstruction. You lack a lot of good condition for you to go that way. Without dana, you don't even have people to offer you any food or the monk's robe requisite and all those things. That's why you must cultivate dana parami. Dana parami is very important so that you can receive. You reap what you sow. Then sila parami is, of course, not to harm others. And through doing that, you protect yourself. You not only protect others from being harmed, you protect yourself. So when you keep your precept, you don't harm others, you don't create karmic negativity. That's why you protect yourself too. So this part, the villager reflected upon his encounter from that day and realize that the working of karma are truly infallible. You know what is infallible? Bo kao lu bo siang sin. Bu ko ni bu siang sin. In English, how you say? It's not for you not to believe. Something like that. Because this is the nature's law. Infallible. To truly love ourselves, not only should we care for our own well-being, we should also purify our heart by eliminating our greed, fully utilize the potential of our physical existence, and cultivate generosity and kindness towards others. It is not difficult to help others, and there are many opportunities to cultivate kindness in our daily life, generosity in our daily life. In this way, when we love ourselves and cherish others, we create countless blessings for all. So cultivation is about goodness, kindness, virtue, generosity. So when you have all the virtue, you will develop the correct cultivation. When you are incapable of evil, you are already beautiful. Yeah. That's why don't be foolish. Don't try to do good. The absence of evil is already good. When you are incapable of evil, that's why avoid all evil, you are already automatically beautiful, virtuous and good. So cultivation is about developing the mindfulness, the heedfulness to avoid all evil. Of course, you need to arise the right effort to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, virtue and all those things. Then after that, finally, with all these merits and blessings, you still need wisdom. That's why you have to purify your mind. That's why all Buddhas, when they arise, Sammasambuddha, their advice is the same. Do good. Avoid all evil. Do good. Purify the mind. These are the advice of all Buddhas. Okay. That's all for the short story. Any question so far? This is to remind people of the nature's law, karma. This law you don't play a fool. Never worth to violate. That's why, like the sutta says, it's infallible. You don't try to like take your chance. Maybe law of karma doesn't work for me. You go and try. There is no such thing. Even enlightened being, you are, the form and mind is still subject to karma. But the mind, because it's enlightened, liberated, will not be affected. That's it. But the form and mind is still subject to, the condition will arise. That's why even as a Sammasambuddha during his last birth, he still experienced the, what they call, result of his past deed and action. Like the Chincha incident, the meal that the, I think the last meal before his parinibbana, offered by that Brahmin, I think, to him. So all this you can see for yourself. The law of karma is a nature's law that governs life and existence. And all beings with a form and a mind, karmically conditional, they are all born of their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma. And they are what they are because of their karma. So this is something you have to bear in mind. That's why be heedful. Strive on your heedfulness to take care of karma, to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. Constantly have this cultivation. That's why heedfulness is constantly meditative, ever mindful. Means ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the advice of the Buddha, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So you constantly cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, it will help you to avoid all your good and purify the mind to liberate the wisdom needed for you to live the noble life. The noble life of an enlightened being. Okay, any question? So far? Yes, pass the mic to me. Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Teo, for the stories.
Yes.
I want to ask about this law of karma, right?
So
we have been going through so many millions or thousands of lives.
Yeah.
Then we
aeons and aeons of birth and death. Yeah.
So we would have accumulated maybe some good karma and also some bad karma as well, right? So is there any way, but we do that, we wouldn't know exactly what we have accumulated, but we can avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind to create better karma in the future. So is there any way we can nullify the bad past karma, or we just have to live with it?
Very good. Miss, the word you use is nullify. Nullify means make void, means no longer applicable. Understand or not? Actually, you cannot nullify karma. That's why this is a very good question. What you have to understand is the law of karma is registered as a nature's law. Nature's law means it acts naturally on its own. So you cannot nullify, but you can do something about it. Understand or not? So those who have cultivated for very long, they will know that this law, you cannot nullify. You cannot do anything. If there is condition for it to arise, the friction of it will arise. And when it arises, the only way to free is to have the wisdom. Means the mind must have the enlightenment or the awakening. But not everybody has that, understand? That's why the enlightened being, like the Buddha, when he is confronting all this reality, just like the Chincha incident, he knew these are from the past causes and condition. That's why it arises. So Ananda at that time couldn't take it. He said, we have to move from here. There is no way, because the villager, the people, they have actually completely turned against them. We have nobody respect them anymore. You know what is the Chincha incident? This lady, young lady, claimed that the Buddha slept with her and make her pregnant. And because of the evil intention behind, by all those other who planned all this, they plotted all this and make it like so real. Then when this word like was spread like rumor, because people are paid to spread this word, and most of these people are the other religious leaders, supporter and all those things. So at that time it became so bad that the Buddha, together with the disciple, people who are associated with his Sangha lineage and all those things, they are like no longer respected by people before. So Ananda make the suggestion to Sakyamuni at that time. He said, we have to go. He said, if we stay here, we will not have food, not have shelter and support. We will not survive. You know what Sakyamuni Buddha told them? Told Ananda. He said, no. These are from the past, causes and conditions. It will come to pass, he said. 3 months from now, everything will settle down. The truth will be revealed. Yeah. And really, after that, everything turned around. That's why the enlightened being, their mind, they are not affected by praise and blame or even whatever evil action that people do. Even this karmic thing, when it come back, they will not suffer mentally at the mind level. Just like the horse feed, there was a meal that Brahmin offered to him. Actually, out of sincerity, it was their tradition to offer this. It's supposed to be some very special food. But because of past karmic again, the Buddha knew if he take, he will have severe stomach problem and all those things. But at that time, he was about to pass away, and he knew. That's why he didn't want to avoid. He still take. Then he explained to the people, don't blame the Brahmin. He said, there are two people in this world who has great merits. One is the one that make offering to the to the Bodhisattva before he became a Sammasambuddha, which was Sujata, the milk rice. And the other one is that make the offering to him before he passed away. And these two have great merits. So because of that, they understood. Then he said, all this come about because of past coming. So the Chin Chao one, it seems, according to the sutta, was he when he was in one of the previous life, long time ago, as a bodhisattva. He was still cultivating that time, I think long, long time ago. He didn't know that monk was a Pacheka Buddha. He, that time as a kid, I think, he abused that Pacheka Buddha. Say a lot of negative things about him. So because of that, he kena back from this Chincha when he became a Sammasambuddha. Then the other one, the horse feet one, you know what happened? He was a kid also at that time. And he saw people make offering to the monk. And actually that monk was also another Pacheka Buddha. But he didn't know at that time, as a kid, you know, they play with the sand and all that. He just happily took the sand and go and make offering on the Batna. Because he did that to a Pacheka Buddha, he kena this horse feedback. That's why you don't simply, oh, Ingbi is here. I didn't know Sadhu. I should ask you to chant together. Just now. So what happens? Law of karma doesn't affect the enlightened being's mind. But the form and mind will have to experience it. Means you will go through the effect. Means the causes and condition will be there. Like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. That refers to the form and mind, understand not? And the form and mind is not you. Always remember that. So because of that, the form and mind, when there is condition, it will confront all this. But because the mind is already liberated, it will not be affected. So you cannot nullify. But if you are not enlightened, that is, I believe, what your question is directed at, what can you do? Understand? Very easy. The Buddha said, there is one sutta. The Buddha actually mentioned, he gave an analogy. He said, let's say, if you cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, it's like pure merits. Pure water, understand? Then you committed some evil deeds, negative karma. If what you have committed is like salt, you know what is salt. If it's only a little bit, if you have enough merits and blessing with the pure water, you can still drink the water in there. You hardly feel the salt in there. But if you don't have much water, you commit a lot of those nonsense, have a lot of salt inside there. You think you can drink from it, right? Bearable or not? Cannot. So the best way is to cultivate more wholesomeness, blessing, merits, so that you have the condition to cushion off whatever negativity when it comes. The other way is, you see, law of karma is like that. If you can avoid the condition, then you can avoid the friction. Because it is a nature's law. When there are causes and conditions, it will arise. But the problem with this law of karma is the heavy karma, they call the five heavy karma, or the very, very severe karma, you cannot. You cannot avoid the condition. It's so powerful, it will come on. Like patricide, matricide. There's a Mongalana Kena. Got it very bad. He was clobbered to death. Even he has psychic. He escaped 6 times. Then he checked back. In one of the lives he killed, he plotted against the parent. They were blind. So he pretend to tell the parent. Because the wife actually advised him. Because they think, the wife think, the parents are nuisance because they are blind. But the parents were very kind to Mongalana, at that life. So on the advice of the wife, he took, pretend to send this parent back. Then halfway, pretend to be attacked by bandits and all those robbers. And you know what the parents said? He said, he told the son, you and your wife, you better run. For us, we are blind. We don't mind dying. But actually, they were the one that pretend to be robber and they kill the parent. So because of that heavy karma, patricide and matricide, he has to pay the price. There's a bandit came against him and clobbered him to death. Also because there is condition. Because at that life, he was foremost in psychic. You know what is psychic? Every time somebody die, they will go and check with Mongalana. And Mongalana will say, this particular person take birth where and where and where. So all the other religious leaders, because of that, they have big problem. Because they claim that they are disciple, how good. Then sometimes they die, then Mongalana check, no, they are already in hell. So because of that, they knew if they want to bring down Sakyamuni, they had to bring down Mongalana. So that was the first thing they did, to plot against Mongalana. So that particular one shows that you cannot commit the heavy karma. Then the other one is, you see, you avoid the condition means when you see the sign coming, you have to do something about it. That's why even this life, I have seen them, the sign. Then I can do something about it. But these are not heavy karma. Then I can be like extraordinary mindful and aware. And with the understanding and the wisdom, I can avoid. Then sometimes I just radiate metta and all those things. Then ask for forgiveness and do a lot of wholesomeness. Then every time when you cover yourself with a lot of wholesomeness, you avoid the condition for negative karma to take effect. So, if you have this ability, then all the non-heavy karma, you can avoid the condition that it will not manifest. Understand? So, these are the few ways which my nature has gone through, and it understands how it can be done. Apart from that, no way. You cannot nullify. Asking for forgiveness is very powerful. It can neutralize a lot of this karmic thing. Because all the enlightened beings, they already forgive others, whomsoever from the distant past until now, like this nature of mine. Every now and then, it makes this aspiration. And sometimes it makes, including all the future. Past, present, and future means cover all. Whether knowingly or unknowingly, that has created or caused any karmic negativity against this nature of mine. This nature of mine is willing to forgive them all. May their karmic offense be neutralized. So all this, the enlightened being, normally they have this vow. They have this pure wish, aspiration. So the moment you ask for forgiveness, it neutralizes very fast. Very fast. Then karmic obstruction also get like disbanded. It's just like when you already knew that these are wrong. This is not something that living being should do. So you determine not to repeat all this. And you sincerely ask for forgiveness. Through the nature's law, very strange. When you start to do this, all this severe coming obstruction, they like get melted down. Then the coming obstruction once gone, then there will be causes and conditions for that particular being to recover, to receive condition to come back. Even though the karmic conditioning, let's say, have actually created the negative karma for them to suffer and enter depression or means encounter with a lot of karmic repercussion. Just like if you cheat people, deceive people, cause so much suffering, then this life you come, you go through all those things. But then because of your good karmic conditioning from the past, like this life as Kayanamita, you help people who are in trouble or went through suffering. Yeah? You bring them to the Dhamma. Then they learn, they recover. Then they turn around. And because of that, when your karmic obstruction is been like watered down or overcome, like no more there, means it cannot obstruct you. Then all these conditions become possible. Then you will have people who will help you where you help people before. Then they will bring you to the Dhamma. They will bring you to people who can advise you, help you. Then straight away you will connect back because you have done this cultivation before. But the karmic, when they come, you will get astray. You will fall because you don't know what to do. And most people get into deeper trouble because they react to all this karmic effect. They get very angry, very unhappy, very miserable. Then they start to blame, they start to do all those things. Then all the fear, worry, anxiety leading to depression and all those things set in. And that one, they have to pay heavily because of karma. So if you don't have good roots, there is nothing much you can do. You have to go through the suffering. But sometimes even you have good roots, but because of karmic obstruction, it will obstruct you and you still have to go through. And you will still become miserable. It's like nothing can be done. The enlightened one will know one, there is no condition. Cannot. That's why sometimes I advise Kayamita, don't be too enthusiastic to bring friend or people. It's not like that. Unless there is condition, unless they want to come on their own. Otherwise, don't. Because it can work both ways. If they got karmic negativity, it can hit back. Yeah. We all didn't do anything. Yeah. But when they are ready, when there is condition, you will know one. Then they will be like willingly, yeah, somehow through some condition, they will come back to you and say, oh, you mentioned somebody. Yeah. Can I see him? Ah, then it will happen. In many cases like that one, all turn around. Yeah, turn around, no problem. So that understanding of karma is very important. Okay, the key thing is law of karma need condition to manifest. If you can avoid the condition, you can avoid the happening. But heavy karma, you cannot. That's why I never commit any of this heavy karma, very severe. You know what are the five heavy karma? First two is patricide and matricide, killing your father and your mother. Third one is what? Killing of an arahant. Fourth one? Sikhism. Cause division in the Sangha, Sikhism, or in the what they call Dhamma community. The last one is hurting a Buddha. Samasambuddha. But actually, not necessarily just a Samasambuddha. It can be any enlightened being. You don't play a fool. It can be very severe. You may not know. It's just like you do good. You say you make offering and all those things to cultivator. The merit is how many times more. Likewise, you do evil. You suffer equally the multiple that you receive for your merits. That's why this understanding is very important. So that you will never do it. Because it's never worthwhile. This is the nature's law. And when you have the Dhamma already, and when you determine to have this understanding life after life, no way you can violate this. This is from my past experience. That's why I realize this like karma. How come like that one? So perfect one. Like everything, so natural, so perfect, so direct. Like everything is already planned. Like I used to tell you all, this nature of mine, the form of mine, didn't do anything. Everything like in place. And you just know what to do. Why? Because this understanding has been there all the while. That's why any time when this nature arises, it know what to do. And it no need to wait for suffering to go into Dhamma and search. Since Form 4, Form 5, when I know science, geography, this form and mind that nature arises, and it will search on its own. Okay? May I hope I answer your question? Huh? Oh, 10:30, so fast. Yeah, you all can rejoice if you want to. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I purposely want to devote the whole of today for discussion. I think you learn better. Huh? We can approach it from different angle. Because when I went to Klang to deliver the talk last Friday, it was about dana, the importance of cultivating dana, parami, and developing sila in cultivation. Means to help one to develop the cultivation. This topic, although look like very simple, but it's very difficult to understand. That's why after I share, then only they come to realize that a lot of so-called Buddhists, they have yet to develop the actual cultivation. Because the Buddha taught dana, sila, bhavana. And why you cultivate dana and sila before bhavana is not understood. And how to cultivate real dana and real sila is also not understood. That's why no amount of retreat and meditation can change you or help you if you don't have the understanding. Then later on, I just write on the whiteboard those few simple things which I sent out in the WhatsApp. Then I remember quite a lot of people took a shot using their camera. Then Susan was there, Ing Lien was there. Then she smiled, as usual, Susan. And she spoke to me, said, "Brother Teo, as usual, everything is like you repeat. So simple, the same thing, like repeat. But every time it's spoken, it's like it suddenly went in and give a different understanding. Well, the approach is different. And it stands out so clearly, is it? Every time it is shared, it is so different. Even though people look at it like the same essential Dhamma. The same few simple essential Dhamma. But every time it's shared, it's different. And he said that thing that went in was so different. Develop the type of understanding. That's why all this while, not only people cannot link the Dhamma, they cannot explain to you how the cultivation is to be developed. So these are the things that I want Kayamita to develop. Because I felt the nature tell me, you have enough Dhamma. You have enough transcript, enough recorded talk. More than enough for you to cultivate. You don't need so much actually. Unless you have progressed very well and you moving on the Bodhisattva way, then different. Then later on I can continue. Well, all this topic that we are continuing actually is for those cultivating the Bodhisattva way. But I realize the understanding of the essential Dhamma leading to true cultivation and practice are more important. That's why now I want to spend more time on each topic. Encourage discussion. Otherwise, you won't go and contemplate, reflect. You won't dare to have your own understanding like voiced out or spoken out. Not until you dare to express it, you cannot develop the understanding. Because the way you express it reflects your understanding. If you don't express it, means you still don't understand. They are still theory inside. But the moment you can express it, initially you can express it like it's not smooth, understand? Or? Don't worry. Just let it come out. Then through this condition, I will explain. Then you will learn. Then you will understand. Then later on you go back, you reflect, you contemplate. Then stabilize this understanding. Then this Dhamma, the moment is stabilized, without you knowing it, it already went in. It has straightened your views. It has developed the understanding to another level. That's why after that, naturally your cultivation becomes different. your approach to life become different. The way you deal with things, understand things, become different. So these are the essential cultivation that I want to zero in, so that we don't have to like go into more Dhamma, which to me is enough. Like I told Miss Lee, the Heart Sutta note and all those other transcripts, if you really spend time going through them, it is so beautiful. Even in a Klang talk, I just read about 12 or 13 pages of that brown book, Essential Dhamma as taught by Lord Buddha. There was so much thing inside there, you know, and I only finished page 12. And just imagine 2 hours sharing during Dana. So much thing was spoken. That's why all the recording, if you listen to it, there is so much advice and understanding inside there. So that's why spend more time, go into all this and contemplate, reflect, then diligently cultivate, develop the understanding, then put it into practice. Then by next year, our next retreat, you will become beautiful. The next retreat, I tell you, a lot of things will happen. A lot of people will progress. But you have to be committed, have faith, the spiritual faculty, then have good religious routine. If you do all this, you will become different, and you will transform. Okay. I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now we will do the sharing of merits and transfer of merits. Then you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bobata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkan tu loka sasana ekawata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu. Yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.